could sing it all the way around. It's just good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Come down to the house of God and not only sing with the congregation, but hear some of this good, fine gospel music and special music rendered, and what talented people that we have. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4, in Ephesians in chapter number 4. Or if you find the place and you're able to stand, then stand. We'll look in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now there's no more of them. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, verse 14, pay particular attention. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. That means there's people out there trying to trip you up. There's going to be people out there trying to sucker you in. There's people out there that are taking bets on how long you'll last. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now you may be thinking, well, I'm not going to go look for that. Don't worry, they're waiting on you. They'll wait. They got plenty of time. But he said, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. Let me tell you right now, when God adds to the church, he puts you in and fits you right in so you can help the needs of others that are in that church. Not everybody's going to be able to sing like you do, play an instrument like you do, pray like you do. God's got everybody fitted in to where we can supply the lack of each other. And notice, if you will, he said that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. Have we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Speak to our hearts, we pray thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen, thank you, and be seated. Now, I'm going to preach a little while. This sermon titled, by the way, it's time to grow up. Amen. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist buddy? They ain't never grown up any. You know why they're in and out and up and down, sideways, crossways, fussing, fighting, cussing one minute and wanting to praise and do something else the next? You know why it's that way? I'll tell you why. They've not grown up. Same reason them kids get into it that you get on to about this and that in line. I know you're excited about being here, and I am too. I want to say that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you begin to find out is that I've been preaching this for 49 years. I've been preaching it here for 29 years. And if you're not careful, one of these days you'll go, oh man, I never heard nothing like that before in my life. I've been preaching it for 29 years and maybe you wasn't paying attention. See? So if you can wake up just for a few minutes. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, make no mistake about it, it's going to be something different than what you could have got up there at Asbury, Kentucky. There's up there claiming there's a Holy Ghost movement. We're wondering why he didn't show them women how to dress. He said and it went asked it for 2 weeks, and it just kept building and kept building. And there's a lot of people, including Baptists, dumb enough to think that's what's going on. That ain't the Holy Ghost of God moving up there, friend. Do you know what shut it down? Brother Darrell told me, and I looked it up just to make sure that he had it right. The reason why they went ahead and had to close it down, because the school and the facilities and that they had to offer wasn't enough to handle that kind of crowd that was there and what was coming. You know what that says in essence? They shut down what they claimed was a Holy Ghost meeting because they didn't have enough toilets. You see how stupid that is? Now, I guarantee you the devil's got a lot of people hooked into believing that. in this Bible lesson that you're looking at. And by the way, you know the Bible said over in the book of Proverbs in chapter 7, don't turn there, you can write it down or listen to it later. But the Bible said that here comes a woman that had the attire of a harlot. Now you know what church women ought to be doing? We ought to be showing young men and young ladies what a ladylike person is. When you point out somebody that's a street-walking whore, and you say, looky there, now that's a whore, young man. And he goes to think, well, my word, it looks like half the women in our church. Something's wrong with that. See then? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, and you'll find out that as I begin to think about it, this Bible said that you and I, over there in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 9 and 10, that a woman's to have an appearance of a modest apparel. And shamefacedness with sobriety. That means she ought not to leave the house half naked like she got dressed drunk. What was you on before you dressed? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it. Out of 49 years, when my wife and I, when we got saved by the grace of God, for 49 years I've never come home and she was going to change her wardrobe from anything but being a lady. God bless you. Thank you. I mean, I'd have told her, hon, you're going to have to gather some of that junk back up and haul it back and get your money back. Now, I wouldn't have had to tell her because it don't make any difference what she buys today. She's taking it back tomorrow anyhow. But at least it's going to look right. It won't be because it's not ladylike. I've been preaching here 29 years. You've never seen her anything but ladylike. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you begin to find out, and you begin to see things. And now, don't suck up and go to trying to put your brakes on, because if you do, I'll burn your liners out. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something, is that whenever a person's wearing modest apparel and all that, what that means is that there ought to be a decency about the way you appear. Now, I'm not talking about you and me. We got the finest ladies in the country. This is the finest church in the country. If I didn't believe that, bless God, honey, I'd be in the one that I thought was. You wouldn't catch me here again. If you don't think this is the best church that God's got you put in, you're a fool to show up one more time. God bless you. Thank you very much. In this lesson here, you know, I had a man ask me one time over there, and there's a passage over in Deuteronomy chapter number 22 and about verse 5. He said, I want to know how you feel about that. You know, man, a woman's not to wear a man's garment, and man's not to put on a woman's garment. All that do are abomination unto God. And he said, how do you feel like a woman in breeches? I said, same way that I feel about a man in dresses. And you know what he said? Well, now, hey, hold a minute. That's two different. I said, hold it, mister. It's the same passage. It's the same scripture. If you don't believe it's right for women to wear dresses, you can't believe it's right for a woman to wear a pair of breeches. I've been preaching now 49 years, and I used to get a few more amens. But you know the reason why you can't amen it when you used to coulda? I'll tell you why. It's because you've mixed and mingled with that God-cussing heathen world to where it's got off on you. And as a result of it, they've corrupted your heart and your mind away from the things of God. God bless you. Thank you. See? I got to say to you, and hey, you're not going to scare me none. I had a man call me up one time and said, I want you to know I don't like and appreciate you telling my wife she's going to hell because of the way she dresses. I said, I didn't tell her she's going to hell for the way she's dressing. Your wife's going to hell because she don't know the Lord. You see that? You understand that? And by the way, for some of you that go to thinking, man, I don't wear dresses, let me tell you, you can get a dress today. If you're wearing a dress that everybody can see every little crack and crevice and your butt cheeks are flipping and a flopping and they see where your panty line is, I've watched so many a lady walk up there and think, oh, hell, I guess they're wearing their jockey underwear this day, you know, or whatever that is, their thong. I guess they're singing a song wearing a thong. Now, let me tell you something. I don't hear but one or two men hollering amen. But that's your problem, mister. With your daughter, your wife, your See what I'm talking about? I guarantee you right now, he's, you're probably going to want me to run for mayor of the city time I'm done with this. You got your jugs, you know, and God bless you, buddy. We like looking every time we can. If you've got your jugs hanging about half out, I mean, you're not going to get any complaint on most of these men that are here, but our eyes are going to jump out there. It's just not right to do that. That's what he's talking about, that there ought to be some decency. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said, over to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now, you're not going to have time to be turning to these most of the time. But anyhow, here's what he said. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I want you to watch this. I've seen in all these years, and I've been doing this 49, I told you, 29 here. I've seen women gather up all her junk, going to get their heart right and this, and going up and dumping that, selling that, getting that, sell it to one of them liberal Baptists. And then they go back and buy another load of it. I can't tell you how many. I can't tell you. The Bible said the middle night with them that are given to change. You know, I see you one day professing holiness. I ought to be able to see you next week, next month, next year, 10 years later. I ought to be able to see you walking with God professing holiness. I hope not one day all of a sudden here you are holy, looking holy, living holy, being holy. You and your husband living for God and loving God. I see you one day like that, and the next time you're like a $10 whore and he's like a $2 pimp. Some of you guys in them little silky shorts, you know, get up here above your knees and you're walking around and got them tight shirts on showing your nipples. Huh? I guarantee you what I've heard in all these 49 years, I've heard people say, my word, did you see how disgusting he looked? And then lo and behold, but a few days later, their husband would be doing the same thing. Now, I'm not griping about you boys that have, or you men that have got big titties. God bless you. I'm not trying to make fun of you or lie to you whatsoever. Can't help it. I told you when we went off one time fishing, I was over there, and Brother Rod, he won't sleep with Brother Darrell in a same room, hardly much less. And I was laying there, Brother Darrell, of course, you know, the only thing stood between him being butt naked was his underwear he had on. But I wasn't going to allow him to go that commando, whatever they call it. I call it naked, no drawers or something. And I was laying there, and boy, I was missing my wife. Been gone a day or two. All I could see was a nipple. He is laying on his side. And I was looking over, and I thought, God, I need to both go home. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about being conscientious. I mean, I know around the house, around the farm, and digging in dirt and all that right there, and counting out garbage and so forth and on, is that, you know, you may have a little bit different attire and so forth and on. Whatever it is, what if the mail carrier comes up? You want to look decent. What if somebody else comes? You want to look decent. See what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Bible said, meddle not with them that are given to change. This Bible said that when you begin to look into it, is that over in the book of Psalm, chapter 119, verse number 11, thy word, he said, have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to say to you that we ought to be conscientious of what the Lord's doing. Paul the Apostle said when he got saved, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he said, when God gave his grace to me and saved me, he did it as a pattern for those that afterwards ought to believe. Our lives ought to be a pattern that somebody else could follow. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, and you'll find out, this Bible said that we're not only to be a pattern for others to follow, but he said in Titus 2, verse 7, in all things show thyself a pattern. Now, you know, we live in a world that starts out, and in the day and hour we live in, we start out with the KJV and end up living like the NIV. in the day we live in, we live in a world that starts out trying to reach the lost and reach your loved ones, only to find out down the road that now they've got more influence on us than we've got on them. You see what I'm talking about? Listen, number one is I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. If you're not saved, you ought to be saved. If God will knock on your heart's door and you ought to open up and let him in by faith, let me say, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sins, the greatest experience you'll ever be able to enjoy. And let me tell you, if you've called upon the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he'll save you. Not only that, but he'll settle you. I'll tell you, God's grace, he's called us into the family. And after that, we've suffered for a little while. The Bible said he'll make you perfect, established, strengthened, settled. In 1 Peter chapter number 5 and about verse number 10. Now, I want you to watch this. You know what makes people one day they're one way and the next day they're something else? They ain't never got settled on it. You know the reason why? I'll tell you why. Because they're following after somebody else in popularity. You meet somebody you like, you want to live like they live, do what they're doing, look like they're looking, go where they're going. If you're not careful, that's how you'll do it. I'll tell you what ends up happening is that you're going to find out that over there in the book of Colossians, the Bible said, is that we ought to get it settled. It ought to be solid on ground we're standing on. And let me tell you, and if you continue steadfast and unmovable. You know the reason people all of a sudden are changing horses so many times? God said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalms 119, verse 89. Another personality ought not to affect us. It ought not to change us. If so be, you have come to know him in the free pardon of sin. Now, let me tell you right now, the Bible said evil communications will corrupt good manners. Everybody that's out here, you're working with people, you're brushing shoulders with them every day of their life. And let me tell you right up front, if you don't guard your heart and guard your mind, it ain't long you go to thinking like they're thinking. That's why God said evil communications corrupt good manners. You're not going to get around somebody that's always hobnobbing with the world and it not get off on you. I'm getting down to a couple of ameners, but that's all right. I don't have to have it. I'm a bulldog, and if I know I'm right, I don't have to have it, but I'm glad you're in there with it. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that another personality ought not to change us. You know what ends up? Well, you turn to 1 Peter, and I do want you to turn there, chapter 1, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. I want you to see it here in a moment. What you'll find is that in the day and hour that we're living in, that we're people that are following after personalities or after somebody that, I don't know, they'll pacify you or after somebody that wants you to make you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. Now, here's what I want you to see something. I want you to know it. Is that another person, another personality ought not to be changing us. If you're settled on what God said, you'll be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now watch this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind goes to dangling and wandering, and you're in trouble. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, look at it, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, if you're not careful, you'll go to dressing right like you did before you didn't even knew what God had to say about it. You'll just dress like everybody else dresses, do what everybody else is doing. And you were ignorant about what God said, but if you're not careful, you'll dress and you'll live and you'll fashion yourself according to the former lust of your ignorance. But as he which called you is holy, be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, you know that's what gets you in trouble. When you go to respecting brother so-and-so because you like him, or you go to respecting because he's got such a sweet wife, or you go to respecting because they're family, or you go to respecting because of their material and money, are you getting the picture? This Bible said, if you call on the Father, who without respect a person judges according to every man's work, past the time you're sojourning here in fear. And I got to tell you right now, is that holiness and looking holy and being holy and talking holy is all a mark of God. I want to say to you, let me say it again. I guarantee you we've got some of the finest people right here that you'll ever meet on the face of this earth. And every now and again, we're just like everything else, because the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak, and we get a little sidetracked. And I can't tell you how tired I am of dealing with this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm telling you. You preach to a deaf bunch. Listen, I don't know how to use sign language, but I preach to deaf people a long time. Brother Eddie said, I'm going to sit up here. I can't hear you good back there. I said, don't worry about it. I've got people for over 20-some-odd years that ain't hearing nothing. Now, I don't mean that ugly, but I do mean it, and I know it sounds ugly. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that one day you ought to be holy, but the next day you ought not to be dressed like a $10 whore and a $2 pimp. You fellows ought to start looking at yourselves and your wives and your children. You understand me? Because let me tell you, you're the one going to give an account to God for it. Well, you know, I've tried to talk to her about it and this and that, you know, and she just beat the ever-living snot out of you, didn't she? I bet that ain't going to change God one bit. It's just not. I want to say to you, it changes. You know what the reason why people are changing? You know the Bible said that we're not to be partial, which means to be inclined to favor somebody without any reason. Yes. Like for instance, you know, over there in the book of Malachi in chapter number 2 and about verse number 9, the thing he condemned them for, they were partial in the law. Yes. They knew what their congregation would receive, what it would, and so therefore they were partial in it. Over in the book of James in chapter number 2, they had a respect of persons and they were partial. And God condemned them, and God for that very thing. Listen, you ought not to be changing the way you think, the way you look, and the way you act, and the way you worship because of your buddy. And if you do, it's because you never got it settled by the scriptures in your heart. Let me say to you, there's sometimes people, because of a song, they go nuts about it. I like a good song. I can sing you a song every now and again. It don't amount to nothing. But I got to tell you right up front, dear friend, there's people sometimes because of a certain singer they like. Well, what are you going to do when you find another singer? I tell you, you're going to change over to them if that's all you've got going for you. Some people like because of a preacher that they've heard. I want to tell you something right now. I can't tell you how hard it was for me to run off-field kids. Son, he's the finest delivery. I'm sorry he didn't believe it, but he's got the finest delivery and all of that of anybody that I've been hearing. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it. I'll give him credit where it's due, but make no mistake about it. He's not more important unto me than the blessed word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit of God. See? You know what makes people change, don't you? I'll tell you what it is because of the fact they get to where they mix and they mingle with this person or this crowd or that crowd, and they forget all about what the word of the Lord had to say. Now I want to close, and I'll tell you, do you know why it's that way? I'll tell you why. Because it people have never got it settled by the word inside their heart. Make no mistake about that. You know, the Bible said over in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, and about verse number 1 and 2 there, follow not a multitude to do evil. You know what happens, don't you? People go thinking, well, I tell you what I do know. There's so many people out there doing this or that, it can't be all that bad. All right, we'll get at it then. I want to tell you something. If you'll follow after righteousness with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart, you'll be on the right track. In 3 John, about chapter 1, verse 11, which is only that one chapter, he said, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, is that in closing here tonight, you ought to find out whatever it is that God wants for you and God wants for your life. That's true. You think for 1 minute is that we don't have to, that all of a sudden we just automatically know. Sometimes we have to seek the face of God, seek the mind of God and all that. I won't tell you, just so you'll know, I'm not going to go to church and despise people that I'm going to church with. If I can't get it fixed, we can't get it settled, we're going to have to part ways. You understand what I'm telling you? And if you do anything other than that, you're foolish. It'll finally show up in your children. It'll show up in your family. See? Somebody asked me one time years ago and said, hey, how's everything going? Well, you know, hey, I'm doing pretty good. My answer now is, well, I'm probably not doing as good as you're doing, but I'm doing all right. But I had somebody one time that really and truly wasn't all right, and talking to him. And I remember somebody making this statement and to somebody they'd dealt with, and I asked this person, I said, is the problem you're having anything that a little money wouldn't fix? Well, no. That's probably where the problem has come, because there's a little money I need and it ain't here. I want to say to you as a congregation what that woman told me she said to that person. If all you got is a little money trouble, you ain't got no trouble. No, sir. Nothing, buddy, nothing is worse than trouble in your immediate family. Second of all, nothing's worse over that than in your church. See? And I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've been saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. There's a couple of things about my wife you need to know. One of them is this. I've never beat her in putt-putt golf. I think she's cheating somehow or another. I can't catch her at it. But I want to tell you right now is that what a privilege and what an honor that it's been for me to serve God with her all of these years. You ought to feel the same way about your spouse, or you ought to get something straightened up around your house. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. And I pray that now you'd finish the message in every heart. Thou knowest exactly what each and every soul here would really need. Dear God, I pray you'd help us to look unto thee, the author and finisher of our faith. And may, dear God, we be busy about your business, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. Bless every home represented here tonight. Be with those that could not be.